Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we come to you with open hearts and open minds. God, we ask that you bring us your grace and your love and help us see the world with your compassion. Amen. The 16th century Spanish mystic Teresa of Avila wrote these words: "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands but yours, no feet but yours. Your eyes are the ones through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which Christ is to bless humanity now." Think about that. Christ, who was here in human form, isn't here in human form right now, we think. But actually, what we know is that Christ is still here in human form. Christ is in all of us. We are the hands and the feet. We are the voice and the heart of Christ in this world. This passage from Teresa of Avila is an incarnational text. It's a text that speaks to this embodied Christ, not just the Christ that lived and breathed and walked in this world, whose stories are in this book, but the Christ that we are. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying, let's all go off and claim we're Jesus. There's a difference here. The Christ that we are is Christ's spirit that we are challenged by Christ to carry into this world. So I'm not saying we're all the Messiah. What I'm saying is that Jesus physically can't be here, but Jesus' spirit is here and guides us. And when we do the work of God, and I know there's a lot of question about what is the work of God? When we do the work of God, we are blessed to be able to live into Christ's spirit in this world. So in the text that we heard today from the Gospel of John, it's when John the Baptist first sees Jesus and testifies, he is the real deal. This is who we've been waiting for. I baptized with water. This is the one who has the true message. John testifies of seeing the dove come and saying that this is the one we are waiting for. And then we hear the story of the first disciples who are serving Jesus. And Jesus encourages them in how they are to live. And this really sets forth this whole deal that we're doing here, this whole idea of who we are to be as followers of Christ. So then we think about Teresa of Avila as we're figuring out how are we these Christ spirit embodied people. And she tells us that we are to live this incarnation. Now that's one of those, you know, theological words, incarnation, that talks about this physical presence of Christ. The fact that Christ was a person, that Jesus was a person who walked and talked. This isn't some metaphor, some thing that we believe, maybe some myth that has some good stories attached to it. This speaks to the fact that Jesus was a real, living, breathing person who had a life and friends and suffered and had fears and happiness and laughed and all of these things. That is what the incarnation is all about. And so now, when you look around and you see your beloved friends and family of Christ around you, you are seeing the incarnation. And when you look around and see the people you don't like so much, you're also seeing the incarnation. And we know these are tense times, and there's been a lot of unfriending people on Facebook going on lately. I suspect come Friday there might be more of that. So we need to look around, and I'm including myself in this we. I'm not saying you have to do this. We have to do this. Look around and see the face of Christ in our beloveds. And sometimes our beloveds are the ones we don't agree with. Sometimes our beloveds are the ones that we don't like so much. But Christ calls us to love them. You know, I'm sure that Jesus, the human, walking around, got sore feet, occasionally had low blood sugar. One of our board members gave me cookies in a board meeting once. Pastor ate a cookie. We'll all be happier, Abby. You know, this is the stuff of having a body. And I think that Jesus probably had to deal with the people who, as we say in the church world, are EGR, extra grace required, right? So this is what the incarnation is about. It's about remembering that Jesus is real. So how do we live in that realness of Jesus? We love how Jesus loved. And we speak truth to power when we see injustice. We speak compassion in the face of hatred. And we walk in faith even when we are terrified. I don't have any evidence other than what's in my heart, and I believe that because Jesus had all that other human stuff happening, that there were probably days that Jesus was absolutely terrified. I believe that because what I do know from Scripture and what I do know from Christian theology is that Jesus had the whole spectrum of feelings that we have, so that when we experience something, when we feel something, we know that God has felt that. When we feel pain, we know that Jesus felt pain. When we feel fear, we just know that there must have been those times that he was saying, "How can I get through this? I'm terrified." So we speak into that terror. We speak into those moments when we are afraid. And who do we have? We have so many examples. But who do we have as a beautiful example of standing up in the face of injustice and fear? Of course, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. When he gave his I Have a Dream speech, probably his most famous speech, was 1963. That was exactly 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And since then, of course, more than half a century has passed. I don't know if he ever thought about a timeline and thought, well, we're 100 years since the freeing of the slaves. I bet we're half from that, from things being really great. Or if it all felt like a mess. Or if he ever felt that any of the dream would come true. So, this much time later, have we achieved his dream? Not fully, of course. We've made progress. You hear a lot of things right now in the media around racism, and a lot of white people are saying racism is worse now than it's ever been before. And a lot of people of color are shaking their heads and saying, white people, wake up. Just because you are aware of racism doesn't mean it's gotten worse than it was before. It means you're uncomfortable because you're aware of something that's there. I saw a, thank you. I saw a little meme on Facebook, and it was shared by someone probably in this room. I don't remember who it was, so sorry to not give you credit. But and I'm going to change the wording a tiny bit. It said, when you turn on the barn light, that's not what caused the excrement on the floor. The word excrement was not the word that was in the thing. But the point of this is that you walk into the barn, you turn on the light, and suddenly you see what you see. And you think, I couldn't see it before, so it didn't exist. That's a lot like how justice and injustice are in this world. You walk in, you turn on the light. Before you turned on that metaphorical light, that injustice didn't exist. You know, before I heard other people's truths, I didn't know what it was like. I still can never know. And, you know, you can empathize without knowing for certain what it is like to be a black person in America. I have people I know who are pastors and doctors and lawyers who walk into stores and are followed. These little things are things you can't legislate, things you can't change by making new laws. It can only change through awareness. It can only change through basically what Dr. King was doing, by pointing out that things need to change. And by saying, you know, it wasn't just Dr. King up there by himself. He was saying the world needs to change. Things need to radically change, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to come together in solidarity. And he didn't just say, only the black people come together in solidarity with one another. This became a message for everyone. And I believe the depths of my soul, the foundation of my Christian belief system is this idea of solidarity, because I believe that walking in the footsteps of Christ means understanding the people who are oppressed, understanding what it is like to be embodied. That's why I love this faith. I love following Christ, who was a person with all of the things about being a person, while also being totally not a person, totally divine. And we have to kind of struggle through it with just the person stuff and try to have a little bit of that divine in us. The psalm that we heard today says, "Happy are those who trust in God, not in human egos." Because it is a little hard to set aside our egos. One of the hardest things in talking about race, and talking specifically to white people, and I post things a lot. I know that you all have probably seen those who are on social media around this issue, and I often get my fellow white folks responding and saying, well, I grew up poor, so I know what it's like. Or, I'm not racist, so this post offends me because I think somehow you're implying that I am. So, yes, there are some huge overlaps between white people who grow up poor and people of any other race or ethnicity who grow up poor. But that's not the point. When we are talking about privilege, when we are talking about power, just because we, all of us, in some way or another have experienced injustice in one way, doesn't mean that we put up a wall and say, well, I've got my own injustice to deal with. No, this is our beautiful, amazing, incredible opportunity. When you read a post like that and you think, well, that's not for me, and why is he even posting it? Think, what is that? What is that discomfort? Because it's probably reminding you of a time that you were made uncomfortable in your life and you don't want to think about it. Whether it was homophobia or because you come from a working class background, or you come from an incredibly poor background, or you were ashamed in school for having to have free lunch. Those things aren't the things that make you prove, well, then I don't need to learn about racism. Those are the things that say, I know in my heart what it is to hurt and to be judged, and that means that I am all the more capable of standing in solidarity. And here's the other amazing thing about solidarity, the amazing thing about living into a new dream. We might not have achieved all the things that Dr. King dreamed, but we can achieve the bravery that he taught us. So when we stand in solidarity, we don't have to have the same life experience. We don't even have to have the same viewpoint, the same political views. You know, we can love each other like Jesus loved us, right? Even when we don't like each other, even when we fight about politics, because it is about loving each other. It is about walking in the footsteps of Christ. And that walk is a walk of love above all else. We all have our viewpoints, we all have our feelings, positive or negative, about what's happening this week in our country. What we don't have is the right to treat each other horribly. What we don't have is the right to look at someone who believes differently than us and say, you don't count. Because even if your great Aunt Bertha or whoever it is that you're having to not look at the Facebook posts from, even if tomorrow when you are, and I hope you are honoring Dr. King in some way, whether it's if you get tomorrow off, you get to say a little prayer. It's not about the holiday off. It's about taking a moment to be appreciative. And if you've got family members, or even if you are a person in this room who thinks that is a ridiculous day, he doesn't need a holiday. Well, the impact and the inspiration that he had on this country cannot be undone. We live in it, and whether you know it or not, your life is impacted by Dr. King. There are activists of every type who have made our lives better because of Dr. King. Jesus says, I will give you a new name. What is that name for us? Not a literal name, what I'm going to look at you and call you, but the name that is written on our hearts, the name that we share with one another when we create a community where we are beloved, no matter what happens, promising one another that who you are matters, and I will always walk with you. Amen.